Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. Trade
Career 2021. Lordo, your teammate on the early trade for the last couple of years and certainly in detail in 2021 has been Kane Corns. He joins us now on the line from Adelaide to bring us his latest views on what's been going on, Kane. We'll get to the Hawthorn situation in a few moments. You've been very vocal about them. I share similar views to you on that club. But before we do, what have you made of the machinations that have been thwarted to this point of Luke Bruce potentially leaving the Hawks and getting to GWS?
Well, I love it from the Giants. I think he's the perfect player that they need. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. He probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I mean, if he wasn't kicking the goals for Hawthorn this year, who was? So, I mean, he'd be a big blow out of their forward line. We understand the reasons that they would be open to trading him. And I like it for the Giants. I mean, that's elite talent in the forward line with Toby Green and others. And I think it'd be a huge addition. The problem is he's contracted, and it's very difficult to get a contracted player who's settled to go and play for the Giants, as we've seen with Chad Wingard and others. So, look, I think it'd be a win for both, but whether it happens with a couple of hours to go, I would be surprised if it did.
Hey, Kane, Damon just touched on how strong you have been on Hawthorn. Do you see it as a positive for Hawthorn that no player has agreed to leave, or a knock on the Giants that they haven't been able to attract a player in this period?
I don't know if it's a positive for Hawthorn, Lordo, because in an ideal world, they're trying to push them out. And the fact that they haven't been able to push them out is probably a negative for them. So if one of their key achievements that they wanted to happen in the last couple of weeks was to bolster their draft hand, they've been unsuccessful in doing that. And they've been very open about that. So they haven't been able to push out those contracted players like Collingwood were able to last year, and you can agree or disagree with the way that they did it, but they were more aggressive. Hawthorn's been a bit more softly, and it probably means that they haven't improved their draft hand at all, and in essence haven't really improved their list or their future outlook for their list in the last week and a bit.
Cal Toomey reported there that the deal was pick 13 they would have got for Luke Bruce. The Giants pick 13, but in return, the Giants wanted Bruce, obviously, and pick 24 back. How do you view that deal?
Reasonably fair. I mean, probably a pick 13 for Bruce is probably about right. And you know, in an ideal world, they're going to haggle and they want stuff back and all of that. He's 31 nearly, so, you know, I can understand the Giants' point of view, but he's quality, like isn't he? So, I mean, their whole thing was about getting a top 10 pick, an extra one to go with that pick 5. Pick 13 is pretty good. I think they just get a bit stuck on getting things back and, you know, trying to haggle over little details. If you want him out, you know, get him out. And if the Giants want him, just do the deal. I mean, we're haggling over late picks and pick swaps and all that with a couple of hours to go. These things tend to hold things up and may be the difference between getting it done or not.
Kane, the conditioning component to the Hawthorn trade period where the footy director, Richie Vandenberg, initially and then Jeff Kennett last week in his letter to members made it known, at least to their own supporters, that anything was possible when it came to the bigger names. And then they've got a situation with Bruce today and from by all reports. Now, it's not done yet. There's still two hours left or thereabouts, but the club itself has actually put the stops on this as much as Bruce. Now, Bruce didn't want to go, but those around him were more than happy to push back initially anyway. So what do you make of that? Is it just been an exercise in futility, the way they've potentially conditioned people and then not gone through with what they were saying?
I just can't believe the whole thing, Damo. Like, for the whole year, right? So we all admire Hawthorn's success. We're all jealous of it. If you won four premierships in your lifetime, let alone in a small stretch of years, you'd be happy. So, granted, all of that. But it's about moving forward. It's about the present day. The amount of mistakes that club has made this year, and not just in the trade period, but the whole, you know, Clarko thing I said this morning with Lord, I just can't wrap my head around them paying the best coach in Australia, perhaps in Australian sport, $900,000 to have a four-month holiday in America. They're paying for it. And he's going to come back a better coach for another club. And they've paid. So that I can't understand. I can't understand why Jeff's getting involved in any list management decisions. Like, you're about making the club better. Has anything Jeff Kennett has said via an email, via the follow-up media interview that he's done, helped the club? No, it hasn't. I mean, the club's cringing, you know, every time he speaks. So that's confused things. Sam Mitchell picking up the phone and getting involved in significant list management conversations has confused things. And tipping out your players who don't want to go is confused things. So you've got a whole culture now that is at risk of, they'll address it as best as they can, but at risk of been in trouble when those players go back and are very self-centred and worrying about themselves and their place on the Hawthorn list.
Yeah, Kane, the way I see it is, where it's got messy is they basically finished their season 6 weeks ago, and all of a sudden it's getting down to the wire of this trade period that they're trying to move their players out. Now, surely they'd planned this 4 or 5 weeks ago that, OK, we need to chat to these players, that there's a real possibility. But for these players to come up late in the trade period, that's what I can't understand.
I'm with you, Soss. I mean, we speculated about Mitchell halfway through the year, and, you know, usually where there's smoke, there's fire, we get it. I think the broad brush as well across, you know, whether it's all players over the age of 26, it just has other players, you know, questioning their place in the list as well. I think you're probably better to identify the two that you want to trade, start to condition those two players early, and then try and do a deal for those two and have discussions with other club. More so than, you know, I mean, Sicily's even been brought up in this because he's 26. Very unlikely that you're going to trade out Sicily, who I think has captaincy potential. Jarman Impey's the same, you know, anyone above the age of 26. So, you know, if I was a Hawthorn player and I was at that age, I'd sort of be questioning my place on the list and the way I've been treated. Now, Collingwood made these mistakes last year and were critical. They seem to have turned things around in a 12-month period. We're all feeling a lot more positive about Collingwood than we were this time last year. So it's not to say that it can't be fixed. I hope it can be, but I'm not sure it's been a great way to treat some of your players and some of your better players.
Kane, just on the Bruce deal, we're getting a couple of texts as we speak. As it stands, it's off. Again, there's 2 and a bit hours remaining, but it seems off from people who are close to the situation right now officially. We talked about conditioning, Kane. Port Adelaide conditioned Peter Adams to leaving. As we speak, it's yet to happen. The Swans haven't yet, in Port's eyes, stumped up the right deals. What are you hearing there?
Well, once again, it's about how you treat your players. So, you know, from the minute I heard that conversation and you heard two stories, the club would say it was Peter driving it, others would say it was the club driving it. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. The minute that conversation happens, I think you've almost lost your player. And now you have. Like, he wants to go. So I think the responsibility is for Port Adelaide to get this deal done. And Sydney have got that pick. 31. That seems about right to me. I know, you know, he's a rookie listed player that they got off the rookie list. I understand, you know, he's in their best 22 of a prelim finals team, but they've got Sam Hayes coming through, who they really want to give game time to. They've got Scott Lyson, who's always going to be your number one ruck. They've got Finlayson, who gives you depth. So he just doesn't have a role. So I think we've got a responsibility to take the player's wishes. Once you've conditioned him and you've made that conversation, to be a little bit flexible and pick 31 seems about right for me. I would expect that happens before 7:30 tonight.
Okay, we've got Chris Davies coming up later. You know him very well. You know Ken Hinckley very well. Could you see them holding him if they don't see what they like from the Sydney Swans?
Yeah, I could, but I could, absolutely, Lordo. But I think, as I said, once you've initiated that, there's a responsibility to do the deal. I think, and to demand what they've demanded from him. Now, we're hearing first-round picks and all of that. It's probably that, but something back, as we know how it works. But I could see them holding them. But, you know, I'd be pretty upset if I was Peter Adams that they've initiated the conversation. He's found himself a home. He's done a medical. He's had the conversation with Sydney. He wants to go. And then at the last minute, they hold him to that, with the prospect of him, you know, maybe playing 10 games and being a depth backup player for them next year, when he could have been, you know, genuinely a second ruck option for a finals bound team in Sydney. So, look, I'd be disappointed if they held him to this contract, only because it was them that appear to have pushed him out the door.